Hi, I'm Glenn Elliott, lead pastor at Pantano Christian Church. Welcome to our podcast. Jesus, the radical one, invites us into a radical life. Radical means living in the extreme, and Jesus calls us to extreme commitment that requires we be all in. We live in a way that's very different from the world. We're radical in our relationships as we obey Jesus. We're radical in how we view our life and resources. We follow him in places that move us beyond our comfort zone. In this series, we'll explore the radical nature of what it means to be all in following Jesus. I hope your heart's ready and open to the Spirit who will lead you to a radical place in Jesus. Hey, we're starting a new series called We Are Radical. And what we're going to do in this series is we're going to go back and look at the core, the root of what it means to follow Jesus in a radical way. Jesus calls us to a radical life. He invites us to follow him, the radical one, into a radical kind of living. Now, I'll date myself a little bit. When I was in middle school and high school, we had a number of words that we used to describe cool. One of them was tubular. I have no idea where that came from. Another one was groovy. Groovy on a Sunday afternoon. I refused to use that word groovy. That was just out. But my favorite word was radical. Or if it was really radical, we'd say that's rad. Now, what we're doing in this series, for those of you who have that connotation, this is not about being cool, that kind of rad. Nor are we kind of focusing in this series about the kind of radical that's so extreme that it's just downright weird. But what we're going to do is we're going to go back to the core of where that word comes from. You see, the word radical comes from a Latin word, radicalis. And radicalis in the Latin means having roots. You know what a radish is? Radish. It's a big red root. Okay? Now, what we're going to do in this series is we're going to look at how we can grow our roots into Jesus so that we can radically follow him. I mean, think of a tree. A tree, one of the most important parts of the tree is its roots. So when the monsoon comes, those roots stabilize the tree in the midst of this, you know, gale-forced winds. And those same roots draw water and nourishment from the soil and bring it to feed the whole tree. And yet the roots remain sort of unseen, but are absolutely vital to that tree, critical to that tree. And so what we're going to look at is what does it mean to radically follow Jesus, to be radical to the core, to be willing to sacrifice whatever, to be truly sold out, to be all in following Jesus, unshaken by the winds of culture, and truly being nourished and fed in a spiritual way by Jesus himself. And so right from the start, I want to challenge all of us to be all in. We've talked about this here at Pantano for a while, and by all in, I mean being so all in and following Jesus that truly that radical life becomes a reality in us, that Jesus is so real in us that there's this radical transformation that happens in us. And we've defined this radical life, this all in life, with four specific commitments. And if you're not familiar with them, they're in a card that's in the seats in front of you. It says, I am passionate, committed, all in and following Jesus. And there are four things. I'm not going to go over those now, but what we're going to do in this series is that we're going to look at each of those four specific commitments. And we're going to look deeply into them, and then we're going to be challenged, how do I live this out so that I really can get to that place where I'm radically following Jesus? We're going to do that over the next few weeks. So let's start with the first one. The first part of that is that we are committed to participating in Christian community. Participating in Christian community. Frankly, that's kind of a yawn statement. Really? Not a lot of emotion there. Not a lot of passion. But I want to take us to a place in the Bible that will help us see the power that's in that simple phrase. That when we commit to being a part of Christian community, it is transforming. It is radical. So take your Bibles or your iPhone or whatever you read your Bible in to Acts chapter 2. Acts chapter 2, we're going to start in verse 42. Acts chapter 2, 42. Listen to this incredible picture of the very first church, right after it was begun. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to the fellowship, to the breaking of bread and to prayer. Everyone was filled with awe with the many wonders and miraculous signs that were done by the apostles. All the believers were together and had everything in common. Selling their possessions and goods, they gave to anyone as he had need. Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes. They ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. There is a radical community, an amazing picture of those who were truly following Jesus and what their life was like together. And they were so radical. It says there that in verse 43, everyone was filled with awe. You see, when they came together, God showed up in a big way. There were wonders and miraculous signs. The Holy Spirit, the power of the Holy Spirit was clearly evident among them. And everybody was going, whoa, what is happening? But don't miss this. A big part of the reason for that was that they were together. When we are together, that's when we're most likely to look for and see the work of God amongst us. We often miss it when we're kind of doing our faith thing on our own. We can know Jesus, we can love Jesus, we can be saved, we can read the Bible, we can do all this on our own, but we will not likely see the power of God amongst us, because when we're together and encouraging others, we're actually looking for God to show up in a big way amongst us. You see, one of Satan's greatest tools to get us off track is to isolate us. To get us to think that we can do this thing of following Jesus on our own. And we can do some good things in that context, but we will never experience the power and the wonder of God amongst us. You see, when we're alone, we become spiritual wimps. But when we're together, we are so much better. And then look at the way that the description here was how they treated each other. Their relationships. They really cared about each other. They were not only just together, they were serving each other. And not only were they serving each other, they were serving anybody who came in their path. They were loving the poor. They were serving the poor. And everybody noticed that. Notice how it said in verse 47, they were enjoying the favor of all the people. I mean, this thing was so radical, the way they were treating each other, the way they were treating their community, that everybody noticed it. And they said, this new thing called church, that's a good deal. They were in favor of it. They said, wow, look at what's happening here. That is radical. They were radically devoted to each other. In the beginning, they wanted to get together as often as they could. Every day they would find ways to connect together. We see later as the New Testament's written that evolved to more of a weekly meeting where they would gather together for what was called a love feast. They would come together for meals together. But they needed and wanted to be together. And not just to be together because it felt good. They were willing to serve each other. As anyone had need, they were taking care of that need. And notice how it described it. It says, all the believers, verse 44, were together and had everything in common. What's mine is yours. What's yours is mine. I like the second part especially. Selling their possessions and goods, they gave to anyone as he had need. Wow. Gary and Vicky Miner have been a part of our church for a long time. Gary's a part of a group called the Disaster Action Team. In fact, the group just got back from training in, I think it was Alabama. They went there to be trained on how to deal, like if there was actually a gas attack, you know, and there was this kind of, and they had to put on gas masks, and they actually got to go into buildings where there was gas there, and they all came back. We're grateful for that. Gary was a part of that team. And in November of 2008, he had an accident where a piece of metal went through his eye. He was out of work for a year, had five major surgeries during that year. And right as all this happened, his wife, there was a job change in her company, and so she was actually making less than she was before, and the medical bills were mounting. And that group of folks, the disaster action team, they didn't just say to Gary and to Vicky, hey, we'll pray for you. I hope things get better. They, with our food ministry team, had a big garage sale. And they surprised Gary and Vicky and brought them a significant cash gift to help them out through that difficult time. That's what it means to be radical in how we live together. That we don't just say, I'll pray for you and stop there, but we actually, whatever we can do to help you, we're going to invest in that. And this Acts 2 church, what a great picture and a summary that for us. They were together. They ate together. There's something powerful about eating together. They prayed together. They studied God's word together. They served each other. They served their community. They were making a huge difference with each other and in their world. But here's the deal. We want to have that kind of experience. All of us want to be in a kind of group that really lives it out. We want to live the radical life of following Jesus to the best of our ability, but we will never do that alone. The only way to become radical is by joining with other radicals. And as we do that, then God begins to work among us, and the movement of God begins to happen. The movement of God in our Bibles is called the kingdom of God, where God's influence becomes real in us together, and we move out and we make a difference in our world. But it'll never happen if we stay in our isolated states. It'll never happen as we just try to do this thing on our own. I ache when we have defined church as just coming to a weekend service and that's it. I've done my Christian thing. I've come to church. Folks, this is only a part of church. It's a vital part. We need to come together and worship together. There's incredible power in that. We need to come together to be directed in a direction that's similar as God leads us. But this is not it. Real life happens. What happens the rest of the week as we do it with others who we know and know us, who we love and loves us, who we're devoted to, who challenge us, who hold us accountable, who move us forward. If we really want to be radical, deeply rooted in Jesus so that he is transforming us, we have to do it together. We are better together. I want you to meet Dan Gunther. Dan, are you here? Come on up. Some of you know Dan. Dan's on one of our worship teams. He leads worship, plays guitar. He's a gifted artist. Some of you may have even remember him from Gaslight Theater. And Dan recently came to a place where he said, you know what, I want to dig deeper roots. I want to get serious about my walk with Jesus. He's always had a love for the Lord, but said, there's got to be more. It's got to go deeper. And so beginning of the year, you started a life group where some of you got together. So talk about why you started this group.
You're right. I've not always had a hunger for going deeper, but definitely last year, that was really hitting a peak. It seemed like the Spirit was moving in me to go deeper. I use the word deeper a lot. That's a big word in my mind, because that's what I think God wants us to go, deeper into the Word, deeper into His Spirit, deeper into our experiences with Him, deeper into our relationship with Him. And that was really hitting me last year. And I was beginning to find people around me and the worship team and friends of friends and people like that who felt the same way. It felt like God was stirring in their hearts as well. And so we started talking about what we were going to do about it, because we realized that just coming to church every weekend wasn't going to do it. That wasn't going to be enough. This big church every weekend isn't going to be able to feed all the things that we want to do in our lives and going deeper always. So we thought, well, we should try to start a group or something, but we didn't know how to do that. And then I came across the book Radical. It's a book by David Platt named called Radical, of course.
Great name.
Yes, great name. Keep it simple, Radical. And I read that, and it began to form in my head an idea on how to what to build this group around. And so January 1st, we started our group called Radical, with the intent to go deeper and to explore life together as a community of people, not just individuals. And so that was how it started. It was just that whole desire to go deeper.
You are an actor at Gaslight. You're on stage performing. You obviously are an extrovert. You just like to be around people. This was a natural.
Negative. negative. I do feel comfortable up here, but I don't necessarily... No, I am not an extrovert. I'm actually an introvert. I'm actually a very private person, rather independent. There's some good things to that. There's some bad things. I think that if you really try to do everything on your own, as I've discovered, especially with this group, you can only go so far with your relationship with God. You should spend time with Him. You need to carve out time and say, God, this is your time for you. I'm devoting this time for you. But last year, in all these conversations and all of this, and reading the book, I began to discover that there was something missing in my life, and that was getting in deeper with other people. I don't necessarily gravitate towards other people. I'm not really a people person, believe it or not, and I don't like crowds, I don't like parties and things like that. But I thought it's time to get over that and to learn to live life with other people, because that's what the second chapter of Acts group did. They all got together. And you can guarantee that when those people got together in this, they were looking at across the table or across the room or wherever it was, they were at people who they probably didn't like very much. So I thought, I need that challenge too in my life. So we invited people into our group. We invited anybody. If you like me, if you don't like me, if we like you, if you don't, you know, whatever it is, just come on in. And so if you have the same desire to go deeper with God, we wanted to learn how to do this with people who aren't necessarily see eye to eye with us. So it was quite a big challenge for us, but it's been one of the biggest growth things in our group. One of the best things about our group is just learning how to deal with each other and learning to love each other in spite of our differences.
Cool. So what are some of the ways it's been radical for you guys?
Well, one of the radical things is that the Holy Spirit really leads our group. That's a different thing than what we thought. We were going to follow this framework and do this, and we had an agenda. And God said, well, let me just get in here a little bit. And so it's turned out that our group has been more about learning to not be so individual, not be so closed in. One of the biggest struggles with our group that we're overcoming on a continual basis is opening up and saying, these are things I need. These are things that are going on in my life. These are things I could need some help with, some prayer with, some time with. I need to talk about this. And most people don't want to do that. You don't want to do that. You don't want to burden your friends with your issues, the things that are going on in your life. And sometimes you don't want to be burdened with it. You don't want that phone call. You don't want to deal with other people's junk. Well, we all have it. We all have junk. We all have it. Everybody in this room has got stuff. I've got it. We all have our problems. And if you are with a group of people and you can bring this stuff up and be honest and transparent and hold each other accountable, you will grow. You will grow. You will grow closer to each other, and the Spirit will allow you to grow closer to God, and you will start to learn what this community was like. And that has really happened in our group on an individual basis. We've all grown so much closer to each other. And it's hard to describe sometimes what's been happening. But I ask myself all the time, what was it that kept me from being in a group? Why did I not want to be in a group before? What was my... And you have to ask yourself that question. Why would you not want to be with a group of people who want to go deeper in Christ, who want to walk deeper with the Lord? Why would you not want that? Ask yourself that question, because we did and discovered there's really not much there. There's really not a good reason not to be with a group of people, with a community of people, especially in a church as wonderful as this one is.
Yeah, that is so cool. Yeah. Thank you, brother. Dan's going to be available. Yeah. Dan's going to be available after our services. He'll be in the lobby. If you want to ask him about his group and how he got it started and how it works, he wants to be able to encourage you and help you with that. I believe this with all of my heart. The very best life is a life where we are truly all in and following Jesus, totally committed. You see, so much of what happens in Christianity is that people, they like Christianity and they want to be there, but they also don't really want to be there, and they kind of walk this middle ground, and that is not a good place to be. It's not a good place to be outside of Christ either. The very best place of life, the most fulfilling, is when we truly, to the best of our ability, have committed to be all in, totally committed, passionate, committed, devoted, all in. And the only way to get there, the only way to stay there, is to do it together. We need others who will encourage, who will challenge, who will pray, who will just support us when we're struggling, who will remind us of what it's all about, who will be that voice of God sometimes in our lives that we need. We need to be in that place where we are participating in Christian community as a reality, just like that first church. I want to make a couple applications, and it's simply this. I want to challenge you to lead that kind of a group, or to be a part of that kind of a group. It's as simple as that. I want to unpack that a little bit more, but just understand how this is going to happen. And I want to encourage right now our communion service to go ahead and prepare for our communion while I talk about that. If you're leading a life group right now, I want to challenge you to think about your life group in this model of Acts chapter 2, verse 42 and following. That you would truly be together, that life would be not just an occasional meeting and we just get together and kind of... No, we are together because we want to follow Jesus to the best of our ability. And we want to help you do that. If you're leading a life group right now, I want you after our service to go out into the lobby. There's a table there. And I want you to meet with Pastor Jeff Parziel and Pastor Cindy DeYoung. They are there ready to help you to up your game as a group, to experience this radical kind of life. Okay? So if you're leading a life group and you've not already talked to them, I want you to do that. You won't have the meeting right now, but we'll set up a time. And if you don't, I've instructed them to come find you. You're not off the hook. Okay? Maybe you've been thinking about starting a life group. You go, you know, maybe God's been nudging you that you know, I'm ready to do this. But a couple things. First of all, we'll help you do that. So again, go see Jeff or Cindy in the lobby. They'll help. They'll work with you. They'll help you to get started. We got all kinds of ways with resources and that. But here's the deal. A lot of times we don't do that, take that step, because we think leading a life group means I have to be the teacher. And to be the teacher, I have to know everything about the Bible. Wrong. That's not the way it works. I'll guarantee you that Dan is not an expert in the Bible. He's never had formal training in the Scripture. But he's doing what people all over the world are doing. Do you know that right today, thousands and thousands of house churches start in China, and they have no access to resources other than the Bible? No training, no curriculum. The government even blocks stuff on the web. All they have is a Bible, and they just get together. And the leader says, open your Bibles. Wow, that's really hard. And then they read and they share. It's not about who's the expert. It's about together saying, what is God saying to us in His Word? It's about praying for, it's about caring for each other. It's not a complicated thing. So if God's put it on your heart to be a leader, I want to challenge you, encourage you to step forward and go with that. And then last, all of us need to be a part of a group if we really want to be radical. We all have excuses. Man, work is such a bear. I work long hours and I'm tired, and the kids, I'm taking the kids to here, to there, you know, school, all this stuff. It's, you know, my life is full. I'm not always real comfortable in group sharing. I had a bad experience once in a group. The excuses are a mile long. I've heard them all. Get past it. You're never gonna experience the very best life and all in life if you're not doing it with other people. And so I just want to challenge you and encourage you to consider seriously, prayerfully, being a part of some kind of group so that you can go forward. That's my encouragement. That's my challenge. Don't do this alone. It doesn't work. We're about ready to partake of communion. We call it communion. Different faith traditions call this differently. Some call it the Lord's Supper or the Last Supper because the Bible calls it that. And those are good terms because it was the Last Supper Jesus had where he instituted communion. Our Catholic friends call it the Eucharist. Eucharist is a Greek word which means thanksgiving. When we take communion, it's a time of thanksgiving for what God has done for us in Jesus. I love that we call it communion. Because at the heart of that word communion is the word community. The center of communion is Jesus. In a moment, the communion service will pass the communion tray. You take the cup and the bread and you pass that to the next person. But you're holding in your hands the symbols of Jesus. His blood that was shed. His body that was broken and hung on a cross. Jesus is the center. He's everything. But we do it together. Because we are better together. And so as you take communion, celebrate Jesus, the center. But also make it as a time, as a commitment to engage truly with others to follow Jesus well. After that, we pass our offering. And really, as you think about your giving, think about this. If you're radically following Jesus, how does that affect what you give? How does that affect your heart in that? Let's pray. Father God, in this moment, we are so grateful for Jesus. He led us back to you. He removed all the barriers, our sin, between us and you. He taught us how to live. And he's present in his spirit with us this very moment. And so, God, we are grateful. And we want to follow Jesus to the best of our ability. And God, I pray now that your spirit will just convict us that we can't do that on our own. Propel us to join with others, to follow you and make a difference. In Jesus' name, amen.